Well, good evening, everyone. I think most of you know me, but if there's anyone here who doesn't know me, my name's Jackie, and I'm part of the leadership team here as well as at Life Church. On this series of Heroes in Faith, James spoke a couple of weeks ago on David. And we were looking at this on our Thursday afternoon live group, and the subject of Samuel came up. And so that's what I thought this evening I'd like to speak on in the Heroes of Faith, and it's Samuel. We were at the time looking at 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 13, but I'm just going to read, if you've got your Bibles and want to follow, it's 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 4. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, and I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, "Do you come in peace?" Notice in verse 3 that the Lord told him to go first, and then he would show him what to do. He had to be obedient first. And it's usually that way around for us. The Lord asks us to do something, and often it can be pretty scary, especially when you're fearful of your life, as Samuel was at this time. The reason for his fear was that the road to Ramah, where Saul was, to Bethlehem, passed through Gilgal of Saul, and Saul already knew that the Lord had chosen someone to replace him as king. And Samuel feared that jealousy would incite Saul to violence. Later in chapters 18 and 19, you can read that Samuel's fear were well-founded, but I'm not going to go into that now. If you want to read that for yourself, you can. But I'm focusing on verse 4. He said, or he was obedient and went, what the verse said. So God calls us to be the same, to trust him in all circumstances, and we've certainly heard witness to that this morning, and he will be with us. When he says go, go. When he says do this, do it, but we have to check it out. Guidance doesn't come all at once. Often it's a step at a time. Samuel knew that he was to go and anoint someone, and he knew it would be a son of Jesse, but he didn't quite know which one. So he stepped out in faith. When in the verse that we discussed in Life Group, further on in verse 4, the elders of the town trembled. That's what we were thinking about at the time. And our group asked, well, why was this? The elders of the town trembled. Why were they so afraid? Well, let's have a look at Samuel's life. And it all begins in chapter 1. We can read a lot about David, Daniel and Samuel together. We can read a lot about David in 1 and 2 Samuel, but we also read about Samuel. I hope I got that correct that time. 1 and 2 Samuel were written about Samuel and probably by him. And he's the person that God used to establish kingship in Israel. Samuel not only anointed Saul, but he anointed David as well. And he was the person God used at that time in Israel. And he was the person God used to define a new order of God's rule over Israel. With God's guidance, he began the king, or he introduced the kings into that structure. Before that, there was no king, and Samuel was the last of the judges, because judges ruled before the kings. The two books of the Bible are, of course, named after Samuel, but originally they were one book. But in 1516 to 1517, they were divided into two books when they wrote the Septuagint, or the Greek translation of the Bible. They were divided into two books at that time. And one book talks about mainly about Samuel, and the second book is about Saul and David. Samuel covers in his books about 150 years, and he tells it from a prophetic point of view to record how God sees things and how he and what he regards as important. So I said Samuel started in chapter 1. So just briefly, there was a man named Elkanah, and he had two wives, one called Hannah and one called Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had children, but Hannah didn't have any. I mean, you probably know the story, but year after year, Elkanah would go up to the temple in Shiloh to offer sacrifices, and his wives went with him. But Peninnah would be on at Hannah all the time until Hannah got into such a state that she was unable to eat, and all she did was weep. It can affect us sometimes, can't it, when we are troubled, when things are coming at us left, right and centre, when we got a real desire in our hearts. It can affect us so we don't sleep, we don't eat. And that's how it affected Hannah. But years passed, and Hannah's sense of grief continued because she was still childless. Hannah wept very much, but she also prayed very much. And in verse 11 of that chapter, we can read what she said. O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant and give me a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. She was praying so earnestly at this time that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. But then when he realized how earnest she was, he did bless her. And God answered her prayer and gave her a son, and she called him Samuel. After he was weaned, she took Samuel to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord. He was probably about 3 years old at this time, because that's how long it took to wean in those days, because there was no way of keeping milk fresh. So right from before he was born, God set him apart to be a prophet for the nation of Israel. If we move forward 3 chapters, Samuel is no longer a child. The Jewish historian Josephus places him about 12 years old, or maybe a little bit older. It's in this chapter that we can read that the Lord called Samuel in the night. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It was a significant moment, as during the whole period of the judges, the prophet's message, both verbal and visual, was very, very rare. So this was quite an unusual event. But the Lord called out to Samuel, and Samuel thought it was Eli. If you know the story, by the third time that the Lord called Samuel, Eli realized that it was God, and he told Samuel to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. God went on to reveal to Samuel what he was about to do in Israel, and also what he was about to do with Eli's sons. And what God said came to pass. The sons had been abusing their authority and misbehaving badly, and Eli had turned a blind eye to this. Eli's two sons were killed in battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured. The scripture tells us that Eli fell back in shock and broke his neck. Other interpreters say that he had a stroke caused by a broken heart. Eli was a judge and a priest, but unfortunately, not always a strong one, especially where his sons were concerned. Although he did rule for 40 years, but now Samuel takes over as leader. And as Samuel grew, so did his fame. All Israel knew that there was a prophet in the land. Samuel accepted a challenge from God, because God really challenged him, but he took up that challenge to reform the nation. And from then on, this was the task of the traditional prophet. Samuel started by calling a meeting together at Mizpah, and it was an act of asking forgiveness for the things the nation had done wrong, but also an act of dedication to the Lord. At this time, the Philistines were watching, and they thought, oh, this is a really good time. We're going to attack them. They're not concentrating. They're not fighting. We're going to attack them. But a thunderstorm thwarted their plans. The people recognized this was the hand of God, and this gave them courage. They then defeated the Philistines, and they were left in peace all through Samuel's rule. It's funny, I had Songs of Praise on earlier, and they were saying how King Charles II, after the fire of London, called all the people together as a day of atonement, as an act of asking God for forgiveness as well. And we can read that through the ages, can you? And I thought, oh, can you imagine if that was done today? Our king or queen did that. Anyway, there's more to talk about Samuel, but I'm too much to go through. I just want to have time to see what we can learn from his life, from what I've said so far. And these chapters, or these little bits that I've told you, talk about fear and obedience, God's faithfulness, and we've sang about that this morning. God is a God who answers prayer. It talks about anointing, authority, prophecy. So I'm just going to start off and just say a few words about fear. Samuel was fearful, and the elders were fearful. And the answer to the original question, why did the elders of Bethlehem, why were they so fearful, is that they knew that Samuel was a prophet, a man of God, and they were fearful that his visit may not be an indication of God's displeasure with them, and that Samuel's visit might be to bring some judgment on them. So they were fearful, and that was the reason why. Maybe they felt guilty. Often guilt can often turn to fear. The elders would stand in awe of God's messengers, and they would tremble at his words. Or maybe they could, there's another possibility, they could have been fearful because of Saul. Because Saul knew what Samuel was up to, and they didn't want to be attacked or have Saul's displeasure come on them for putting up with Samuel, or putting him up, I should say. Anyway, they need not have feared, because God was in control. Samuel was under his authority and his anointing. But fear can appear so real at times, and especially when we're going through struggles. But God tells us in Luke 12, verse 32, "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I mentioned to someone in the week that we all go through fear at some time in our life. And it can often feel like that. It can seize us. It can strike us. But God is bigger. He is for us. His kingdom is advancing, and that's what he wants. He wants to give us good things. Secondly, is the word. Not the word of the, in regards to the Bible, but the word in the sense of God revealing things to us. Although, of course, we all know God reveals things to us through the Bible, as Jenny said in her testimony. But I'm thinking back to this time of Samuel. The word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions, unlike today, I believe. And the reason I believe this is a favourite verse of mine is Joel 2, 28 to 29. And it says this, I will pour out my spirit on all peoples. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And the Apostle Paul quoted these verses at Pentecost. He emphasized to all people that everyone, even Gentiles, who will not be, they will not be excluded from the Spirit's outpouring or deliverance. All who are far off, as it says in Acts 2, 39, and that's us, and those, it's those who are yet to believe as well. So it's an ongoing thing. So we should expect tonight to see God work. We should expect to see His Holy Spirit move and reveal God to us, reveal His plans for us, to hear His voice. It should be a daily occurrence as we do what Jenny said, get into His Word, spend time with God. As we meet together like this, we should expect God to hear from God. We should expect dreams and visions. We should expect Him to speak to us. And if you think you might hear something tonight, because you may well do, share it with someone. We do have a prayer team available tonight, hopefully. So if you're here tonight and you are fearful of something, bring it to the Lord. It may be that the Lord hasn't revealed something to you either. It may be you want God to speak to you. It may be you want guidance. Well, maybe there's something that you want to bring to Him, and there'll be time available for that as well. I know that I've mentioned this before, but I know when I, before I came to Lincoln, I had three prophetic words from other Christians to say God was sending me here, but I had to find out for myself. I had to hear from God to myself. And if you pray and you ask and you pray and you ask, just like Hannah, He will tell you that you need to test any prophecy that you receive. Well, how do we hear from God? Jenny, as I've said, has said one part, but you have to know Jesus. We have to have the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus gives us a direct line to God. You need His Holy Spirit. And if you do not know Him tonight, make sure you speak to one of us after the service. Or come forward and I'd like to pray for you and give you some information. If you don't know Jesus personally, we've been singing about Him. You need to accept Him in your life because it will be such an exciting life. Will it be easy? No. But will it be exciting? Yes. So if you don't know Him, speak to one of us. But then there's the case that maybe you already know Jesus, but you're not hearing clearly from God. It feels like there may be a blockage. Well, come forward as well. We're happy to pray for you. Fear can be a blockage. We've talked about fear. Now, Samuel was dedicated to God, and we do dedications at this church. In fact, we had one this morning. We need to dedicate our lives on a regular basis, or rededicate, because we need to come to God. So maybe that's something you all want prayer for. Maybe that's something you want to come forward for. We need to be steadfast, just as Samuel was. I read a quote by Lou Holtz, and it said, I can't believe that God has put us on this earth to be ordinary. So it doesn't matter whether you're at school or college or university, in your workplace, or if you're in ministry, God hasn't called you to be ordinary. Do you want to accept the status quo? Are you happy with ordinary? God wants the best for us. Yes, Pete said you don't have to be perfect. God looks at the heart, but you have to be willing and you have to come to him. So let's be obedient and take a step of faith, even if we feel fearful. And this Heroes of Faith has been a really good example of that. There's Noah, there's Abraham, there's Moses, there's Esther. They've all had to step out in fear. So it's a really good series. And I've been reading a book on miracles because I'm really looking for God to act. I'm really keen on signs and wonders. And we do have a miracle working God. And I just want to read you one of the stories. It's about a lady who one grey February afternoon was going to visit her daughter. Now, it was her daughter's birthday and she decided to buy her a bouquet. The daughter lived about 30 miles from where she lived and she couldn't find a florist. But as she was driving along, she spotted a grocery store and felt sure that someone there would know. As she pulled up in the car, an old woman was coming out, so she said to her, "Do you know where there's a florist?" And the lady got a really surprised reaction from the old woman. The old woman smiled, her eyes brightened and her cheeks were flushed, and she said, "Flowers? Someone's getting flowers today?" "Yes, it's my daughter's birthday," replied the lady. And the lady went on to say, "The old woman directed me to the florist and I tried to thank her, but she quickly rushed away. I purchased the bouquet for my daughter at the florist and I decided to take a remembrance rose for this elderly lady, an exquisite red rose, because she'd helped me. I drove back to the grocery store and the assistant behind the counter nodded when I described the old woman. She comes in here nearly every day," she said. "Would you give her this?" I asked. This is what the lady's saying. "A rose," said the assistant with excitement. "She's been praying a special prayer for 5 days, and this is the fifth day." "What has that to do with the rose?" said the lady. "It's a message from God," she explained. "She told me that if she received a rose on the fifth day, God had answered her prayer." God confirms things in different ways, but he hears and answers our prayer, whether they're small or they're big. We have a miracle working God. There's nothing he cannot do. We also have a God who answers prayer each and every day, and that's my final point is prayer. Hannah's prayer was answered, and she was so earnest, but she wouldn't give up, and God answered. And I know I may have said this before, but my daughter had difficulty conceiving, but thanks be to God, an answered prayer, she now has 2 children. God will answer our prayers, but we have to ask. We have to take a step of faith. We have to pray with our eyes on God and not on our difficulties. Expect him to speak to you today with dreams and visions and prophetic messages. Ask him to reveal himself to you. He speaks to young people, old people, whatever age you are. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back now, but we need to ask God to reveal himself to us. So if you're in a position tonight where you'd just like to receive something from God, and don't forget, if you receive, share it with someone. I'd just like you to stand while I pray and hold out your hands in front of you. Let us pray. Father, we ask you to speak to us tonight. We seek you to reveal what is on your hearts for us. Thank you for the prophets in the land today. Thank you for the prophetic messages we've had as a church that have guided us along our way. Thank you that those who are here tonight who have the gift of prophecy, we know they're here. Thank you that it's your pleasure to give us the kingdom. Speak through us, speak to us, Guide us wherever you put us to be the best and do the best for you. Thank you so very, very much for sending your Son to make a way for us to come into your presence and to hear from you. It's only through Jesus do we have access to you, Lord, and we thank you, Father God. Thank you also, Lord, that in Ephesians 3 it tells us that now be glory to God, who by his mighty power at work in us is able to do far more than we could ever dare ask or ever dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes. Now to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So don't go from this place without expecting to hear from God, even if it's in the middle of the night like Samuel, even if it's next week, next month. Be expectant, because God is faithful.